You can go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. We'll move along a little bit if we get into it tonight. Again, we appreciate you folks coming. I'm beginning to see a little crack in the dome, I think, where maybe some light's going to break through and some of all this fear is going to ease up and hopefully begin to get back to normal a little bit here before too long. I'm hoping we can do that, and it is a time when a lot of folks have been scared to death, and I can understand that because it's a steady barrage of news or false news or twisted news, or actually they want to make it worse than it is. It's bad. It's bad for somebody to get sick and die. I don't care whether it's with corona or a bad cold. It's still bad. But if you heard the governor a little bit this afternoon, I didn't get all of it, but apparently he had a pretty long conference talking. My personal opinion is the governor and the president and a few others know the whole truth, but they're caught politically in a tight spot. They have to kind of go along with the political correctness, even though I think they rebel about it inside to a great degree, just like I do. I can't help but believe that from little things. He said this afternoon that it was pretty obvious now that what we were calling coronavirus was here a long time before we said it was. He said all the world was traveling to California months ago and to Florida. And all of a sudden now, as they're doing the tests and coming back with a lot of people that have antibodies, now what that means is they already had a part of the disease and got immune to it. So they had to be around for them to get that. So he kind of let that out a little bit this afternoon, but that's not popular. That's not what they want to hear. They want to hear nothing but the worst, and they want to keep everything... keep America's production down, ruin the economy, and hopefully have their way in the election. That's about what's behind it all. And so it's amazing to me how many folks are scared to hardly say anything about it. God gave me a verse. I was thinking about, this is not anything much to do with Proverbs. Go over to... I'm thinking Isaiah. Go over to Isaiah chapter 8. And I want to see if I can find the verse I think I'm looking for. Let's see. Isaiah chapter 8. Need to understand a little something here. Israel was a lot like America. They had nations trying to scare them, nations coming against them. Nations have always used lies and trickery and deception and conspiracies and all of that against each other. And Israel had to defend that just like America's having to defend that. In fact, while all this coronavirus is going on, other bad things are happening too. I commend the president for saying he was going to shut the borders down, at least temporarily. But at the same time, if you saw a blurb of news, was it last night or sometime recently, where the Iranians are shooting out their boats again against our ships? Did anybody see that? I think they suddenly chilled out, though, when the president told the ships, blow them out of the water. And that's the first president that said that. And I think you ought to blow one or two of them out just to show them we can. I mean, after, you know, they took some of our sailors hostage and humiliated them, all the stuff they done, they need to find out we're not going to take it forever. But I'm saying Israel was much in the same boat that America is. They've always had the enemies coming against them, as you read through the Old Testament. And part of the weapons was not always just the weapons of war as we think of them, but also the lies, the slander, the innuendos, the fear they tried to instill. And I was reading a little bit about it in Isaiah chapter 8, and I'm going to take this a little bit out of context because I'm taking it kind of a little bit personal to me. I thought, here's a good verse. I'm going to claim this for my coronavirus fear. So I may be jumping it a little out of context, except Israel was having to answer some of these fear threats. So I pick it up in chapter 8 of Isaiah, verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Now, here's what I took personally. Now, the threat, the fear was there's a confederacy, there's a scheme, there's a conspiracy working, and so this was the gossip. This was on the social media, so to speak. This was coming over all their cell phones, right? And scaring them to death. And the Lord gives them a word here, says, neither fear ye their fear. They're trying to create a fear. Don't fear it. I said before, old President Roosevelt said, all we have to fear is fear itself. And there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of folks, their fear kills them when there's nothing really there. I may have told you, the reason that stuck in my mind was I remember one night a bunch of us young teenagers, around 15 years old, doing wrong. I had an old jalopy car, and we boys did what I will not allow boys to do at my church through the years. I've actually stopped them a couple of times. That is, wait till church is about out and then pull up in front and get the girls to come out of church and get in your car and go with you. Yeah, some parents were not being real smart and let the girls out of the church instead of telling the boys, if you want to see my daughter, you come to church. That's the way it ought to have been. But two or three of us boys pulled up in front of this building right down here behind us, block behind us, it's Eastside Baptist Church. And sure enough, those silly little old girls come out and got in our car. Only one too many came out. There's three of us boys. We expected three girls, and I think it was four showed up. One extra, I remember that. Loaded my car down. And we kept telling the extra girl, we don't want you. We didn't come to get you. But she was not going to take no for an answer. She was going to get in the car with us, and she did. And we threatened her one side and down the other. Well, the cemetery is right where it is over here right now, where it is, two blocks over there. In those days, it had clay streets, still had them old mossy trees hanging around. Didn't have a fence around it, just had these little trails through it. Somebody spoke up, could have been me, or at least I went along with it, said, we'll take you to the cemetery and drop you off. We don't want you, you stay here. She got in anyway. And I drove to the cemetery. And it took two of us boys, but we dropped her off. And took off, left. Got about a block or two away and we thought, this ain't gonna work. We're gonna be in trouble. So we turned around and we went back. And as we got back to the gate, she had run the whole length of that cemetery in a panic. And she looked like a ghost coming out of that cemetery when we met her at the gate. She was scared to death. We got her back in the car, and I don't know after that, but made me think of this. Some kids went to the cemetery one night, and they dared each other as to who would go to a graveside, which they thought, you know, all the stories about a graveside, haunted and all that stuff. And who would have the nerve to go to the back of the cemetery and put this stick down in the ground to show they'd been there? And they dared each other, and finally this girl volunteered to do so. This is supposed to be a true story now. And she went back there, but she didn't come back. So after a little bit, they all went down there to find her. And she was laying dead on the ground beside this graveyard, or cemetery, a grave. I get it right in a minute. Beside the grave, she was laying on the ground dead. She had scared herself to death and her heart had quit. Because when she stuck the stake down, she had on a long flowing dress and she didn't realize that she staked her dress to the ground. And when she jumped up to run, something had her. It's supposed to be true, folks. It was written for truth. Let me put it that way. Years ago. But I can imagine that would be pretty fearful. Somebody that pushed themselves against their fear and then all of a sudden thought something had them. And fear can be a bad thing. And it's a bad thing right now for our country. It is hurting us in every kind of way. It's hurting individuals, it's hurting families, it's hurting businesses, it's hurting everything. And the fear, I've said it all along, is much worse than the facts. Far worse than the facts. And doing a lot more damage because of it. I just chose myself a scripture here out of Isaiah chapter 8 where the Lord told them, I don't care what you hear, I don't care what your phone says, I don't care what the bloop tube says. They're saying there's a confederacy out there and these nations are getting together and y'all are going to be wiped out. He said, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. And then he tells them what to do on the positive side. Verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself and let him be your fear. What time, the scripture says, what time we're afraid, we'll trust in him. Let him take the place of that. Don't you believe he's powerful enough to take care of anything and everything? I do. I really do. And I'm going to trust him with this and all the rest of it. Amen? Well, go with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 4. Now, the Lord's encouraging us all the way through here, especially young men. Listen, Solomon here is writing with young men on his heart. He's writing to stay with the Lord, with the Lord's wisdom. To seek the wisdom, seek the understanding. And so I'm going to read beginning in about verse 1 of Proverbs 4. And I'm going to read right on down to about verse 13. Now the Lord might interrupt me to say something about it, but look at it as I read it and think about it a little bit and understand Solomon is saying the most important thing is to get wisdom. And understanding. Now the world wants you to understand the way they do and follow and believe what they say, but how wise we are to listen to what the Lord says in this thing. Amen? So he says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. Solomon is saying, my heart is going out to you like a father to a son he's looking out for. And attend to know understanding, for I give you good doctrine. If it's good doctrine, it's bad doctrine, folks. I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And if you read the story of Solomon and King David and Bathsheba, it seems like that she was kind of in the background as the loving mother, much like that what he's saying right here in verse 3. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom and get understanding. Notice how they pair together. Wisdom and understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, personified wisdom. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom. If you want to mark a verse, mark this one. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The world today buys and sells what they call knowledge. And yet, isn't it amazing how often what we thought was true today turns out next week to be false? That's the way man is. All you got to do, and there's some folks just so wrapped up in all the health gimmicks and all the things that's good for you and bad for you, that changes all the time. I've read so many articles saying coffee was bad for you, and I've read so many articles saying coffee was good for you. And you say, well, what do? I just drink it when I want it. But not telling you to. And let me park there just a minute. And this will pertain to the virus just a little bit. What is good for somebody may not be good for everybody. And what is bad for somebody may not be. And this virus, somebody may have it and think they had a bad cough for a couple of days and they're through. It may kill somebody else. But it's not the difference as much in the virus. It's in the immune system of the person that got it or in God's timing for them. Amen? We got to watch that sort of thing. But he said wisdom is the principal thing. Get it. Get understanding. They said exalt her in verse 8. And she shall promote thee. That's a two-way street. Lift up wisdom. In other words, seek after it, attain it. You'll be blessed by it. You'll be promoted by it. And she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. He's talking about the rewards that comes from doing right, being wise, living right, going by God's word, which is the ultimate wisdom. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. You know, there's some promises in the Bible about long life. Some of the greatest servants of God didn't live all that long, but God used them in a mighty way. We'd name a lot of them. And in other cases, God let some folks stay here a long time and still be used by him for a long time. And when Solomon was praying his prayer over the temple, dedication of the temple, and he asked God for wisdom, remember? And God said, because you didn't, he asked for wisdom to rule the people. And he said, because you didn't ask for riches and you didn't ask for long life, I'm just going to throw them in also. See, he was saying the natural thing was for you to ask for long life and wealth. But instead, you rose above that and showed the character and the faith in the Lord that I need something above those things. I need God's wisdom to rule the people. And so God threw the rest of it in. What we used to say when we were trading around as kids, I got some boot on that. Anybody ever know what that means? You don't, all right. Had a fellow tell me one time, talking car trading and stuff when I was a kid. He said, I'll trade with you with so much to boot. I said, what's the boot? He said, you got to give me some extra. And I said, why? He said, because Dad told me to always get boot and I'd never be broke. He quoted me what his dad, he had wisdom from his daddy. Anyway, I don't remember how that deal turned out, but I remember the talk about it. And the truth is God throws in some extra sometime that we don't deserve, but we're blessed. Solomon was blessed also with long life and also with wealth. But the main thing was the wisdom he asked from God to rule God's people. And so he's talking about it personified here again. And the years of thy life, verse 10, hear, O my son, receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And again, there's wrong paths you can take for sure. Verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. And it's mainly saying you walk straight and not fall. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now it switches gears in verse 14 and starts talking about the wrong path. And the path of the wicked. There's a path the righteous walk. There's a path the unrighteous walk. There's a path that is clearly marked of God. And there's a path clearly marked of the devil if you'll see the markers. If you'll observe the signs. And so he says right here, enter not into the path of the wicked. And go not in the way of evil men. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was no evil men? But there are plenty. And the Bible says as we get near the end that evil men shall wax worse and worse. And boy, are we seeing that. Somebody gave me tonight. I just stuck it into my Bible here. They gave me a couple things. I won't read that one. Let me see if I can find the one I was looking for. I can't, I guess. I'll tell you what it was. It was coming out of Canada, or the military, and it was saying how they were going to no longer use the personal pronouns he and she, but they had to use they and them, the gender thing, which was, here it is, the Canadian Army to use only gender-neutral pronouns on official documents. Now, this is one sick country in America doing this. It is happening in America. Now, Canada's talking about the military doing this. I've somewhat joked about it through the years, but it's not a joke. People are getting in trouble for using the wrong. You say that guy looks like a man. He's ugly as a man. I called him a man and got in trouble because he wanted to be called a woman. That's junk, isn't it? But that's where we're at. A school teacher recently got fired because the male teacher would not address the male student in his class as a female. And the male student wanted to be called a female on certain days and a male on other days. And since the teacher wouldn't go along with that, he got in trouble with his authorities and lost his job over it. Now, that's in America. That is sick, sick, double sick. It's terrible. But that's what it's saying here. I won't read all of it. It is amazing. The gender revolution is not slowing down. It's gaining speed. And in this stimulus package, because of the virus, the far left, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all that crowd, wanted a big allotment in there so these gender perverts could get free surgeries to change their sex. Now, the first bill, they had it in, and it delayed the bill a while, but the better side got it out. But now we're passing the second bill today. The second bill was signed today. It'd be interesting to see if they got it back in. That is really sick, really sick. And anybody with any godly understanding, godly wisdom, biblical knowledge knows how wrong it is. But it says in verse 14, enter not into the path. That's the way they want you to go. Follow them. Path of the wicked. And go not in the way of evil men. I feel so for our young people today because they come to an age where mom and dad has told them what to do and brought them to church. And the old depraved flesh begins to rebel. I'm my own man now. You don't tell me what to do any longer. And look how many drop out of church and quit coming when they hit that stage. Now, our prayer is and our hope is they're going to wake up one day, maybe before they crash totally, and say, like the prodigal son in Luke 15, come to themselves and go back to the father's house, go back to the parents like they should have. And many do. So there's hope if you're having troubles with that. There's hope. But it is sad that they have to wreck a life before they do it. They have to get in the hog pen before they do it. But it is so true that is what happens. And following the wicked, the evil man, the wrong path. And the proverb here is so geared to trying to keep that from happening. It says in verse 15, avoid it. Avoid it. You can't avoid it, he's saying. Avoid it. Pass not by it. What? The wicked path. Turn from it and pass away. Do you know that's right sometimes? Now, nobody wants, we don't encourage nobody to be a coward. But there's certain things you're supposed to run from. Did you know that? Young people, the Bible tells you to flee youthful lust. Sometimes the only thing to do is get out of the company that's going to drag you down. Get away from the crowd that's talking wrong, doing wrong. And peer pressure is so big. And yet the one that may be leading the very peer pressure, pushing to go the wrong way, is just as insecure and mixed up as anybody. And then the mixed up group follows them. That is so sad. I remember one night right here in town, I was fairly young. It was hard times. You think it's hard now. It was hard to earn a dollar in this town in the summertime when you was out of school. If you could cut somebody's grass or clean out their septic tank, and almost all of them had septic tanks in those days, that's not a fun job. But you'd do it. You'd do it to earn a little money. 50 cent looked pretty big. And I was sitting with a group of my peers. One of them had already dropped out of school, and I found out later had already been in some trouble, probably with the law, but I didn't know it that night. And he was pretty much the leader of our little group at that time. I mean, in just our little gang get together, nothing like a gang by today's standards, of course, but the main part of the conversation was how we could come by some money, get some money. And this one guy come up with a plan, and it was basically robbing somebody or a business. And he sat there and told us how to do it, and how you'd do this, and you'd do this, and you'd do this. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I wasn't the oldest one in the group, and I felt pressure, and money sounded awful good, but it was just so wrong. I wasn't saved. I didn't go to church. I didn't know, but I had good moral upbringing. And it finally got right down to it, and it was supposed to happen that night. I told him, I said, count me out. And I got up, walked out, and left my buddies, and walked about 3 blocks. I lived in the house there behind the hotel, and I walked about 3 blocks from about the middle of town home. And it was a few days before I heard. I guess one or two of the others didn't go through with it. But the main schemer tried it, and he got caught. Now, I'm sure thankful I took the right path that night. Didn't follow the path of the wicked and listen to that stuff. That's how easy it is. The pressure can get on you and your peers, and you know you're not going to be thought well of by your buddies or your friends if you don't do something like that. And that's what the writer here is warning about. That's what Solomon here is warning about. He said, don't go down the wicked path, following the wicked one, the evil one. He said, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and you won't stumble, he's saying here. Then he said, take hold of instruction and let her instruction not go. Keep her, for she is our light. Enter into the path. Enter not in the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. It is avoidable. Sometime you have to flee. You have to run. You have to get out. Then he goes on to say, for they sleep not. Who? The wicked ones. They sleep not except they have done mischief. You ever known anybody quite like that? I had what I'd call 2 or 3 good friends. By the way, I'm thinking of one right now. He was mean as a snake in school. And we never trusted him because he's liable to turn on you too. And he enjoyed it. He wasn't all bad. I remember that certain root beer stand here in town that he got out of the car one night and an old cat was walking across the pavement. He kicked that cat like a football. Went almost over the top of the building, squalling and carrying on. And I don't know where he lived or not. Didn't care. Still don't. But anyway, he was just mean. He got a kick out of that. He enjoyed it. That was his nature. He was a daredevil. I remember one night we were supposed to be out fishing. One of the old bridges on Polk City Road. Some of you might know they used to count bridges going down Polk City Road. It was rough, but you could go to those bridges and fish. And we were standing there one night, and here come a great big alligator. We could see him. He swam under the bridge. Well, it was obvious if he went under this side, he was going to come out that side. So we all ran over to the other side, and my friend that loved to kick the cat or anything else he could do, jumped off on top of the alligator. A big alligator, too. He hollered something and just landed on that gator. That gator spun around like that and liked to drown him before he got out of there. He never done that trick again. But he was showing off in front of the rest of us. He would just do that sort of thing. I wouldn't give you any hope that he would have lived very long because of his daredevil foolishness. Well, I grew up, got saved. You know my story. And my brother and I were in a company together, and we'd gone over to Lakeland. We were actually doing some work on a church building over there, a building. And I heard somebody call my name from behind, and I turned around, and this was my daredevil buddy that jumped on the alligator. I had not seen him in years. And of course, we greeted each other and started talking, found out he'd gotten saved too. It was in that church that we were working on. That was his church. Now, God can take somebody on the wrong path and get them on the right path. One that seemed to love to be mean and straighten them out. He's dead now. He did have an accident later on that killed him, and I was at his funeral. But the good news was we could get up and testify. He'd given us a testimony about being saved. I turned off the wrong path. Sadly, so many get on the wrong path and never get off of it. Never get out of the hog pen. They get down and they stay down. And that's too bad. But the writer of the Proverbs is warning about that. And he said there's a crew out there, though. They can't even enjoy a night's sleep if they haven't inspired some mischief somewhere. Something wrong. You could probably tell me a story like that, too. That's the way my friend was till he got saved. My wife, I think, is sitting back there. Did she get up and leave? She back there? Can't see her. She must have left. Hard preaching. She can't stand it. All right, I'm joking around, but she'll remember. I went to a class reunion, the last one we went to. And this lady come up and hugged me, greeted me, and that was my friend's wife that I'm just telling you about that got saved. And she gave us a good story about his life. There is hope. And you can get off the wrong path. If you might be tempted to get on it, stay off of it's better. But you can get off of it if you're on it. The Lord will let you. He will lead you back. And that crowd, they're miserable if they can't lead you the way they're doing. Have you ever seen this? I know you have. If you live very long. Have you ever seen an old drunk walking down the street, put his arm around somebody else and say, "Hey, buddy, have a drink"? Now, it's not that he wants to share his alcohol. He thinks if it's so good to me, it must be good to you. And I got more peace if I'd get you to do what I'm doing. Isn't it amazing how human nature is? If I can get somebody else to do what I'm doing, then I feel better about what I'm doing. Strange, isn't it? To some degree, we're all that way. But the Bible warns you about that. Bible says, "Follow not a multitude to do evil." Young people, listen, just because the crowd's doing it don't make it right. In fact, quite often in this world today, the majority's wrong. Very wrong. So how you know they're wrong? I got a yardstick. It's called God's Word. I know when they're right and when they're wrong according to God's Word. And right here, the proverb is really helpful to us. There's a crowd out there. If they can't cause some to fall, they won't sleep good that night. That's what he said in verse 16. Verse 17, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Now the word "but," B-U-T, in verse 18 takes you away from that, crosses the street to the good side. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Do you know if you and I are walking for the Lord, following the Lord, That's what it is. We're following his light. Most of us, human nature, we want to see further than we need to see to keep going. Do you notice that when you start driving home tonight and you have your car lights on? You might see 100 yards at the best up the road or 75 yards, but you won't see a mile. You could stop and say, I'm afraid to drive because I can't see a mile ahead. So that'd be pretty silly. What you're trusting is that as you go, the light's going to precede you, and it's going to lead you, and it's going to show you. That's the way God wants us to do. Trust him, believe him, follow his light. He'll shine it ahead of us. Have faith enough to walk and follow. As I start home tonight, you're not going to see me sitting side the road crying because I can't see all the way home. Right? But don't we act like that sometimes as God's people? God said, I'll show you what you need to see when you need to see it. Just follow me. And that'll work. That's following God's word instead of, I want to see it all before I can believe it. I want to see it all. No, God said, I'll show you what you need to see right now to trust me and to follow me and to believe me and to do right. Amen. All right, Proverbs is good for us. It's down where the tire meets the road. It's that that gives us daily instruction and advice. And life's experiences prove it out. Prove it out all the time. All right, Brother Hector, choir practice. Getting ready for Sunday. Okay, let's stand. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, that it is a light unto our path, that we will receive the light that you give us. And Father, help us to have the faith to believe and to follow and to be satisfied with what you show us when you show it to us. Thank you again for the Lord Jesus and that he is the light of the world and that we do follow him. And thank you for your blessings through him. And we thank you in his precious name.